Bless the name of God. Bless the name of God. Give honor to your angel. God bless you, man of God. Thank you so much. I'm going to let you sit down in a minute. Let me just talk some stuff out. I had prepared something for today. About 12:30 last night, I was tightening it up and getting it together. And it just wasn't making sense. And I said, God, don't do that. Don't do it. It's 12:30. I need to go to sleep. He did it. And so this is fresh from what God has to say. And before I get there, there's been this thing in the atmosphere that I just want to tell you about, and Bishop has already dealt with it some, and I just want to kind of acknowledge and kind of, hit my chord in it. There, in recent months, 6, 7, 8 months, folks have been feeling this thing, what he was to this lethargy, this, this drain. And the Lord said, it's because people have lost their cutting edge. And I shared part of this with you yesterday in the car. And I'll be honest, I for the sake of transparency, I felt that way as well. And the Lord told me that part of what the problem was that I was chopping at the tree and my axe head had come off. Some of y'all will get that in a minute. It's found in the book of Kings, where the prophets, and it's like hitting the tree, thinking, expecting, hoping that it's going to eventually fall. But it's impossible because the axe head is necessary to cut through the wood. Some of you have lost your cutting edge. And you're upset because you've been, and ain't nothing happening. And Bishop made a prophetic announcement, and I'm telling you, that Elisha has thrown a branch in the water. Your axe head has floated. It's time for you to pick it back up. That's what the word of the Lord has to say. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 13. Speak, Holy Ghost. Book of Romans, chapter 13. When you get there, say, I'm there. If you're not there, say, please wait. I'm going to wait a minute. But not quite a minute. A few more seconds. All right, now I'm finna read. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are what? Okay, you got to remember that as we keep reading. The authorities that exist are what? Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists what? You reading it just like me, ain't you? And those who resist will bring judgment on who? Not him, not him, not her. For rulers are not a what? Terror to good work. In other words, they're not designed to be bad for you. But then it tells you what they are designed for. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. There's some things that are, it's contrary in your life that has to be removed, that has to be cut out. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? I'm intimidated. Ooh, I don't know. Well, here's an answer. Then do what is are right. And you will have praise from the one that you were afraid of. I'm going to help you if you let me. For he is, he don't belong to you to direct, to instruct, to intimidate, to disobey. He is whose? God's minister to you for what? Not for evil. I mean, we read that. But if you do evil, there is an answer that God wants you to be very clear about. If you are contrary, if you do the wrong thing, then you better be. The design is not for you to be afraid, but the consequence of disobedience. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain. This word of God is not here just to be here. It's designed to trim the fat out of your spiritual life so that you can be healthy, so that you can perform at your highest level of ability. He does not bear the sword in vain, for he, and he says it again, for he is God's minister, an avenger. That means he has an assignment by God to take revenge. Boy, you say, Bishop, why you come and preaching that thing? To take revenge on them who practice tearing up stuff, causing division, speaking badly about the man of God. And Khalil, get ready. People looking crazy at me. Therefore, I'm almost through. I'm only reading 7 verses, then I'm preach. Therefore, you must be subject. Listen, there was not, you should be, you might want to be, you ought to think about. Therefore, you must be subject. Not only because of wrath, but because of your conscience. Because you ought to be thinking, what are the consequences of not being? For because of this, you will pay taxes. I'm going to deal with that too. For they are, he says it again, God's minister, attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore all their due taxes to whom, and it goes on and it goes on and goes on. Let me ask you a question. What does God value more than his name? And he said 3 times that he belongs to him. Did you read that? All right, have a seat. I want to talk about, and I'm going to tell you, at first glance, you're like, oh my God, he's really going to be doing his preaching. But you know what? This kind of word unlocks those areas that releases the kind of blessings in your life you need, that you want. I want to talk about submitting to spiritual authority. I'm going to take off my jacket. Listen, we all should live in the promises of God. I'm a believer that God wants us to have everything we want, for us to experience not happiness. He wants us to be happy, but happiness depends on happenings. So if bad happenings take place, then it ain't going to be no good happiness. So, but he wants us to have some happiness. He wants us to have joy. He wants us to have abundant life, the Zoe kind of life, this just outrageous type of life, and access to all of those things. And God wants that for us just like you want it for yourselves. I have to tell you, though, I believe that we cannot ignore the responsibility we have in making sure that our actions allow God to run us over with blessing. And I'm gonna say something right here, then I'm gonna move forward. You can stop God from blessing you. I'm gonna say it again, because you might didn't know that. You can stop God from doing what he wants to do, which is bless you by your actions. And the way that your actions can prevent God's blessing, your actions can allow for God's blessing. But there is an order and a pattern to getting what you want from God. So being able to get from God, I know, has us all, you know, fingers. And Bishop told, go high five, and everybody was high fiving, and we were shouting, and we were worshiping, and we were rocking the house when he was saying all of those things. We got our spirit stirred up, but now reality has to sit, and you have to say, while I'm glad that that's available to me, what do I have to do to actually possess it? See, God gave the children of Israel the land. Is anybody in here but me? He gave them the land, but they had to possess it. Some of you got blessing waiting in the wings, and you don't have it reveling in your life because you have not possessed it. So don't be mad at God. I'm waiting on my blessing. No, your blessing waiting on you. If you want the blessing of Abraham, because we sing that song, the blessing of Abraham. If you want the blessing of Abraham, then you got to follow the vision and the voice of God. That vision, that voice from God in your life is placed in God's delegated spiritual authority. When I said that, y'all should have shouted. Because you ain't got no whack job as a leader. You ain't got no hack standing behind the pulpit every Sunday morning. You got somebody that takes time in the word to pull out what you need to experience your breakthrough. And you ought to celebrate this man in your life. Sit down. So the key to experience the blessing is that God's blessing comes on the hinges of a vision. And that vision comes from his delegated spiritual authority. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, without vision, people perish. Without vision, people perish. Now, just by logical deduction, I'm not asking you to be smart. I'm asking you to make a logical deduction. Without vision, people perish. So it kind of has to mean then, with vision, people don't. I mean, would you agree? Would that be too presumptuous of me to conclude that? Without vision, people perish. So naturally, you don't even have to be smart to understand that then with vision, people don't perish. That's how the formula is set up. Now that we understand the general formula, I have to introduce a subset to the formula, and that is the if-then statement. You've seen it before in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Let me see how many Bible students I got. 7 and 14 of 2 Chronicles says, if my which are will humble themselves, pray. Okay, good. I know you know it then, because you were helping me with good. You had Paul. You did a great job. What God said is, if my people do all of these things. And after he started listing all of these things, this is what he says next. Then will I hear from heaven and heal the land. See, God used an if-then statement to suggest that there were some things that needed to be accomplished for the then to be fulfilled. So you can't expect the then if you ain't done the if. Because you would then be asking God to violate his order. And he ain't gonna do that. Bishop said to you right before we got up that God don't respond to your need. So why do you keep praying, God, I need? Do you think you're going to arm wrestle God and just make him get, oh, Lord, she keep on asking, so I might as well do it. He don't work like that. You think you're going to wear him down? He don't slumber or sleep. You ain't going to wear him down. All right, let me get back here because I'm finna go somewhere. Say, I'm listening, Bishop. So then, life, abundant life, is connected to the vision because it's the opposite of perish. It's about living. That comes through the vision. Here's what you got to know. Anytime a society is headed in a direction without a vision, they are headed in the direction of anarchy. When you decide that his voice ain't good enough for you to follow, you are producing anarchy. Now I'm going to show you something else. If he tells you what to do to get blessed and you don't do it, not only are you a fool, you are practicing anarchy. And anarchy is the absence of a form of government, which is like rebellion, which is about overthrowing the established authority. See, when, what's the man in Cuba? Castro, back in 19, I think it was 72 or something, when he took power, you know how he did that? He overthrew the existing government. And since that time, there has been sanctions against Cuba. There's some things that the wealthiest country in the world will not be able to trade with them because the government was established through anarchy. I'm trying to tell you, when you rebel against God's order, there are some sanctions and embargoes against you, and there's some blessings that are locked up because God says, I can't sanction the way you did that. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, vision, this thing, God's counsel, his revelation, his oracle. You have to get this. I know you know it. I'm here to remind you, to help you, to get you what you need. God, for this house, only speaks to Moses. I need to be clear before I move on any further. You are not authorized to provide him counsel about what Final Harvest needs. You can be 97, have lived through 35 presidents. You can have 17 postgraduate degrees. You can be a prisoner of war, a veteran of Vietnam. And you are not authorized to provide counsel talking about, I feel the Lord saying. Well, you's lying. Because the Lord ain't going to say to you nothing about this here place. I just want to be clear so we ain't got no problems between me and you. Now, I wouldn't fool you. Y'all tell him I wouldn't fool him. God only speaks to Moses. And anytime the man of God stands to communicate vision, he is not just talking about lofty dreams. When this man said that God expects double next year from where you are right now, those are not just lofty dreams. What those are, what he did was speak life into the atmosphere. And the goal was to impregnate every single member of this church to birth out what he said out of his mouth. And it's time for folk to say, Bishop, I'm with you, to quit miscarrying. See, some of y'all are out just miscarrying, and you make a mistake and you miscarry. And then there are others of you who's out there aborting. The sad thing, Tony, is that the results of a miscarriage and the results of an abortion are the same thing. When vision comes from the lips of your man of God, and I'm going to get something else that I think I skipped over that I'm going to have to tell you in a minute when I get through. I need you to remind me, okay? Say, remind, Bishop. When this man speaks out of his mouth, he is speaking life to impregnate you so that what he said comes to pass. Because what he says is not accidental, nor is it incidental. Do you know what that means? It wasn't just a happenstance. If he said it, that was purpose connected to it. And if you get the purpose connected to it, you'll see the results of what was said. Say, remind me, Bishop. It says, when we read the text, there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by, that's in verse 1. What am I reminding you? Is that you don't get to choose who your daddy is. You don't get to decide that he's not what you want in a father. And as a result, then, you can't, man, I wish I had another daddy. Because the problem is, any surrogate you get can't feed you like he can. The milk that's necessary to transform your body from being able to drink milk to eating meat is only available on his nipple. And it's time for you to understand that you don't get to decide who you submit to. The Bible says that your authority is appointed by God. And so to reject God's appointment in your life is to reject God. So every time you do, listen, I'm not trying to puff him up. I'm telling you what you need to get blessed. So every time you reject him, what you are not doing is not really rejecting him. You're rejecting God. And why would a God who you reject do anything for you? Praying, talking about, Lord, give me. But I ain't doing the Bible study. I ain't going to be here for prayer. Yeah, that choir rehearsal, praise team rehearsal, you know, no. The Bible says that the purpose of the authority in your life is for good and not for terror. It's to produce God's intended will for your life. And what does God will for you? To be prosperous and in health. That's what his intended will for your life is. So that's what the purpose of the authority in your life is for, is to produce that intention. If that's what God wants from you. So here's the caveat that goes, again, you don't have to be smart to get this. Is that if God's intention is for that to happen, he places somebody in your life to get it. If you don't have it, check your relationship. If you're suffering, what's wrong with your relationship with him? I can deal with God all by myself. You're a lie. You're a lie. Listen, the Bible says in Romans, y'all all want to quote it. If I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I shall. I'm saved, child. Ooh. But that was some verses a couple of up from where you started reading. Did you know that? It didn't start at the verse you started quoting. Did you know that? It started a couple of verses before that. Matter of fact, just because you asked me, you say, where did it start at, Bishop? I'm going to tell you where it started. It started, let me see. The word is not in verse 8. If not hardened, not hardened, the word in the mouth, the word of faith will be preached. And it goes on and talk about that. Hold, that ain't where I'm at. Go up some more. How shall they preach except they be sent? Ain't that in there? Do you see it in there? How can he preach except he be sent? Well, then, if somebody had to be sent to preach it and it was what was preached that got you saved, then you can't get it without him. So as a result, what's wrong with your relationship with him? If you ain't getting what you want, I ain't saying what you need, because that's something else too. Because that's some action on your part. But there's also some things you got to do to get what you want. You can't even get what you want. I pay my tithes, I get my first fruit greater, but are you cursing the other part? You know, folks was going to Jesus talking about, and I talked to the leaders about this yesterday. Lord, didn't we cast out in your name? They were doing good things. I visited the sick. I went to the hot. Lord, I did all of this for you. And he still said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. So you're going, how do you make the bridge then between them doing a good thing, a right thing? And they did it not in their own name. They did it in his name. So it wasn't that it didn't work. Because he ain't going to stop it just because of you. Because what I tell y'all yesterday, ain't no one monkey do what? they remember from me. It's still going to work, but you don't get credit for it. Go back. When you resist the authorities of God, you bring damnation to yourself, because to resist is to rebel. And to rebel causes you to be a witch. And God hates witches. Tap your neighbor and say, is you a witch? I know that's bad English. I did it on purpose. Tap the neighbor on the other side and say, is you a witch? So everybody doesn't confirm to everybody else that they ain't no witch, right? So there better not be no anarchy up in Harvest. Look at the word. Let's go back to the word. Okay. Turn in your Bible to 1 John chapter 3. I need about 10 more minutes. Like Bishop said earlier, I'm about to close, and that means about 10 more minutes. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now Are we the sons of God? And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we shall know that when he shall appear, we'll be like him, for we'll see him as he is. And every man that hath his hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Remember, I told you that going against the vision is anarchy. And anarchy is about confusion. It's about lawlessness. It's about lawless. So what we find here is that lawlessness is sin. So lawlessness then is the absence of obeying the vision of God that comes from the mouth of the man. Now, so you perish means you die. Without vision, without taking hold to that, you die. Romans 2 and 12. Let me read that real quick, and then I'm going to kick in the gear. Romans 2 and 12. It says this. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. What I'm suggesting is that when you don't have law, you're actually working against the law. So you want to know why he has rules and order? It's because there has to be an established way of doing things in order to get the designed results. God has a process by which he does things. And if you fall outside of the process, you don't get what he's trying to give you. If you fall outside of his guidelines, you say, well, he's too strict. He made me got to do this. I got to do this. All of that is designed to get the results out of you that you desire. If you don't have rules, you operate in lawlessness. And lawlessness is anarchy, which is sin. So he would be causing you to sin if he didn't give you rules to follow.
Oh, there it is.
If he didn't provide you parameters with which to work inside, he would be subjecting you to sin. What happens, though, is you create your own sin when you violate the protection from sin, which is his rules. Did you get all of that? Good, because I don't want to repeat it. So sin then is a matter of conduct. It's a matter of behavior. But lawlessness is a matter of attitude. Let me say that again. Sin is a matter of conduct, your actions. Lawlessness is a matter of attitude. Sin is a matter of conduct or behavior. Lawlessness is a matter of attitude. If I then understand that sin is a matter of conduct, I also understand that the Bible makes provision that my conduct can be easily forgiven. I just got to repent. I'm finna show you something now. I need you to strap in because I'm finna dive a little bit and then we'll resurface in a minute. You strapped in?
All right.
I'm going to start back where I was and then we're going to dive. Say dive, Bishop. Okay. Sin is a matter of conduct or behavior, but lawlessness is a matter of the attitude of the heart. Sin, conduct, can easily be forgiven over rebellion. Because rebellion is about your heart's attitude. It says, I want to overthrow God. The act of sin was not the cause Satan was kicked out of heaven. I didn't say it wasn't a cause. I said it wasn't the cause. You don't believe me. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. I'm almost there, y'all. I know this is about to be uncomfortable, possibly, for you. But that's okay. You'll get over it. Amen. Isaiah chapter 14, starting at verse 12. How art thou fallen from the heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. See, Lucifer was in lawlessness because his attitude was to overthrow God's throne and establish his above it. Here, it's easy to point the finger at the one that got caught doing something bad. It's easy to say, Bishop, you know, sister, they didn't. Because it was out in the open. Right? Here's the deal, though. What about when you ain't got nobody around you? What about when it's you by yourself? Does that make you better than them? Because they got caught and you did not? No, it doesn't. See, here's the truth. You're caught with them because you did the same thing that they did because it was an act of the heart. Here's what Satan did. Satan said, I can do this better. Here's what church folk do. I have a better suggestion than how Bishop said to do it. I know Bishop said do it like this, but I think it would be better if we did it like this. I said it in the class yesterday, trying to interpret what he said as opposed to following what he said. See, that's about you thinking you're better equipped to do it than he does. And that's the problem Lucifer had. Is he thought that his way was better than God's way. And that'll get you kicked out of heaven. Some folk got some positions here. You wear some name badges. You got some authority. Well, when you start thinking that because you got a badge that you can do it better than he did, there, I can imagine, will be some vacancies in the spot that your badge has title to. Satan had, Lucifer had not physically done anything. See, he did not exalt the kingdom. I mean, he couldn't. So he hadn't done anything. He just said it in his heart. So even if you don't attempt to do anything, when you say it in your heart, you are in lawlessness. And that's a heck of a lot harder to be forgiven for than having actually done something. Because when you do something, your actions can be quickly changed. How you feel about your actions takes a little longer to deal with. Because you justify in your mind why you right even when you wrong. So he hadn't overthrown God's kingdom. He just said, he thought about, you know what? Look like this ought to be something I do. And then I read in your brochure that the new member, all of the leader, the teams you have, there's some team members who thinking about how to do a coup on the coordinators. There's some coordinators thinking on how to do a coup on the bishop. No, I need you to laugh a little bit. I mean, come on here. This ain't comedy hour, but I still need a little chuckle every now and then. So whenever conduct can be forgiven, the blood covers conduct. The blood covers what you do when you sin. That's easy. Having the mind of Christ can govern your conduct. You can be changed. So, listen, I'm going to just tell you, I'm transparent and I ain't embarrassed about it. This is my testimony. I used to smoke cigarettes. I stopped smoking. I tried and I tried and just couldn't do, you know. And if I, you know what? Why am I battling to quit smoking? It wasn't like I was a real bad smoker anyway. It took me 3 days to smoke a pack of cigarettes, but I still was a smoker. And all of a sudden, I just stopped smoking. When I decided, you know what? Let the Lord renew my mind. My conduct of smoking can easily be fixed when you let God take control. So your conduct, not your issue. I realized that part of my initial struggle was that in my heart I enjoyed smoking. Here's the kicker. It's bad for you. So how dumb is that? Somebody asked me why you don't quit, John, because I like smoking. I ain't ready to quit. It's something about. And you know, then after that line didn't work anymore, you know what I start telling them? It fills the dead space. You know, when it ain't nothing else to do, you know, you go on break at work. Well, I mean, what do you do if you don't smoke? What do you just kind of stand outside with the smokers and talk? And you know, years ago, I worked with this woman. We'd go out for cigarette break, and she'd say, "Ooh, man, I feel like this is a 2-1. And so I started smoking 2 cigarettes on break, knowing I don't even smoke. At that time, I didn't. And because I was participating in her 2-1, I got addicted to smoking cigarettes and then got caught up in smoking cigarettes. I'm telling you this to say this. Listen, your conduct can change if you allow God's mind to control your the activities of your limb. That's why the Bible talks about renewing your mind, you know, setting this thing in order. So your conduct can easily be forgiven. It's more serious, however, to offend God's authority than it is to offend his holiness. Because his holiness is offended by your conduct, but his authority is offended by your rebellion. And when you rebel against God, his authority, he takes that very seriously. He died to handle your conduct because you couldn't live by the rules. The blood covers your conduct. He don't take it kindly, though, to you fooling with his authority. And his authority is appointed, according to the text, by God for you. And that's him. Do we get that? All right, I'm on one more thing. 3 minutes and I'm going to my seat. So then, what we found in Isaiah was Satan's heart. Lucifer's heart. Turn quickly to Ezekiel 28. That's my last scripture I'm going to have you go to. Isaiah deals with how Lucifer offended God's authority. What we're going to read in Ezekiel is how he offended God's holiness. Matter of fact, you can read Ezekiel chapter 28, 12 to 17 on your own. I want to go there. I want to say one last thing. In Leviticus 10, and you don't have to go there, write it down, Leviticus 10, read it later. Aaron had 2 sons. I'm not going to remember how to say their names, so don't even ask me. It's in Leviticus 10. You read it for yourself. Because their name ain't important. Ooh, the bishop didn't know how to... You're right. I don't know how to say their name without looking at it. Because that ain't the important part. The important part is this. In Leviticus chapter 10, Aaron and his 2 sons, they went and they made sacrifice. Then one day, the 2 sons decided they were going to go do the sacrifice without him. What happened, the Bible says, is that their sacrifice produced a strange fire. That's in Leviticus chapter 10. You can read it. it produced a strange fire to the extent that the fire then engulfed them and consumed them, and they were killed. They were killed because, not because of their conduct, because they were priests. They had the authority to offer sacrifices. They were priests. They were consumed because they decided to do it outside of Aaron, because they thought they could do what Aaron did. Did you miss that? Let me rewind. I know y'all, some young folks in here, you like it chopped and screwed, so let me see if I can chop it and screw it. They tried to do what Aaron done without him. They thought that they had the right to do what Aaron did with them. You've been given responsibility as people of God. Some of you have giftings that he allows you to exercise in this ministry, but it does not belong to you. Your gifts belong to him. And when you use your gifts outside of him, you produce a strange fire. And what happens when strange fires are produced is they end up engulfing the ones who produced them. Because it's a matter of lawlessness. It's a matter of rebellion. It's a matter of your heart. And when your heart ain't right, you die.